Think? Death had been right about that. All that ghosts had were thoughts, and although thoughts in general had always been alien to the king, the absence of any body to distract him with its assorted humours had actually given him a chance to savour the joys of cerebration. He'd never had a plan before, or at least one that went much further than, let's find something and kill it. And here, sitting in front of him, washing itself, was the key.
Yeah, pussy,
he ventured. Gribo gave him a penetrating yellow stare.
Cat,
the king amended hastily, and backed away, beckoning. For a moment it seemed that the cat wouldn't follow, and then, to his relief, Gribo stood up, yawned, and padded towards him. Gribo didn't often see ghosts, and was vaguely interested in this tall, bearded man with the see-through body. The king led him along a dusty side corridor and towards a lumber room crammed with crumbling tapestries and portraits of long-dead kings. Gribo examined it critically and then sat down in the middle of the dusty floor, looking at the king expectantly.
"There's plenty of mice and things in here, do you see?" said Berents. "And the rain blows in through the broken window. Plus, there's all these tapestries to sleep on." "Sorry," the king added, and turned to the door.
This was what he had been working on all these months. When he was alive, he had always taken a lot of care of his body, and since being dead, he had taken care to preserve its shape. It was too easy to let yourself go and become all fuzzy around the edges. There were ghosts in the castle that were mere pale blobs. But Verence had wielded iron self-control and exercised. Well, had thought hard about exercise, and fairly bulged with spectral muscles. Months of pumping ectoplasm had left him in better shape than he had ever been, apart from being dead. Then he'd started out small, with dust motes. The first one had nearly killed him, in a manner of speaking, but he'd persevered and progressed to sand grains, then whole dried peas. He still didn't dare venture into the kitchens, but he had amused himself by oversalting Felmut's food, a pinch at a time, until he pulled himself together and told himself that poisoning wasn't honourable, even against vermin. Now he leaned all his weight on the door, and with every microgram of his being, forced himself to become as heavy as possible. The sweat of autosuggestion dripped off his nose and vanished before it hit the floor. Gribo watched with interest, as ghostly muscles moved on the king's arms like footballs mating. The door began to move, creaked, then accelerated and hit the doorway with a thump. The latch clicked into place. It bloody well had to work now, Verence told himself. He'd never be able to lift the latch by himself. But a witch would certainly come looking for her cat, wouldn't she? In the hills beyond the castle, the fool lay on his stomach and stared into the depths of a little lake. A couple of trout stared back at him. Somewhere on the disk, reason told him there must be someone more miserable than he was. He wondered who it was. He hadn't asked to be a fool, but it wouldn't have mattered if he had, because he couldn't recall anyone in his family ever listening to anything he said after Dad ran away. Certainly not Grandad. His earliest memory was of Grandad standing over him, making him repeat the jokes by rote, and hammering home every punchline with his belt. It was thick leather, and the fact that it had bells on didn't improve things much. Grandad was credited with 7 official new jokes. He'd won the honorary cap and bells of the Grand Prix des Idiots Blithering at Ankh-Morpork 4 years in a row, which no one else had ever done, and presumably that made him the funniest man who ever lived. He had worked hard at it. You had to give him that. The fool recalled with a shudder how, at the age of 6, he'd timidly approached the old man after supper with a joke he'd made up. It was about a duck. It had earned him the biggest thrashing of his life, which even then must have presented the old joker with a bit of a challenge.
"You will learn, my lad," he recalled,
with every sentence punctuated by jingling cracks,
"that there is nothing more serious than jesting. From now on you will never..."
The old man paused to change hands,